So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, The Character of Bharat Maharaj. Text number 18. So I'll just read the prose myself. Apicha na vikasala vikun vitamo va naikatara ekataro va bakshati. Api cha or na not vrika a wolf shala vrika a dog. Anyatama, any one of many. Va, or na ekachara, the hogs that flock together. Ekachara, the tiger that wanders alone. Va, or bakshati, is eating. The poor creature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I do not know, but the deer might have been eaten by a wolf or a dog or by the boars that flock together or the tiger who travels alone. Purport. Tigers never wander in the forest in flocks. Each tiger wanders alone, but forest boars keep together. Similarly, hogs, wolves, and dogs also do the same. Thus, Maharaj Bharat thought that the deer had been killed by some of the many ferocious animals within the forest. So there's not much to be said about this, so I'll go on to text number 19. Nimlochutiha Bhagavan Sakala Jagat Kshemo Dayastvayat Madhapi Mamana Murga Vidu Nyasa Agachati. Translation. Alas, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. The sun god is the Vedas personified. But I am bereft of all Vedic principles. That sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusted in me since its mother died has not returned. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 552, the sun is described as the eye of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yakchastra esa sapitad sakala grahanam raja samastra suramurti vashesha teja yasyagyaya brahmati sambhita kala chakro govindamari purusham tamam bhajami. As the sun arises, one should chant the Vedic mantra beginning with the Gayatri. The sun is the symbolic representation of the eyes of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Bharat lamented that although the sun was going to set, due to the poor animal's absence, he could not find anything auspicious. Bharat Maharaj considered himself most unfortunate. For due to the animal's absence, there was nothing auspicious for him in the presence of the sun. Om Gyananta Marandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshram Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Bukam Kuchava Chalang Pongun Lang Hayate Gurim Nyat Kripa Taraham Bande Sigurum Dinatarnam Vanchakapatyubhyascha kripa-sindhu-vyevacha patitanam bhavanevya vaisnavevya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ayur Harati Vaya Pumsang Udyan Astrangi. So we say, for every rising and the setting of the sun, a day is lost, except for those persons who utilize their time in glorifying the all-good personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. So this is the best way to utilize our time. Prabhupada was given a lecture. He said, if you have free time, then read Srimad Bhagavatam, read Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna. So, time is very valuable. Chanaka Pandit says that you cannot buy back 1 second of time with all the wealth in the world. So, time is actually very valuable. And it's wasted so much. It's said that you'll find out how wealthy you are when you find out how many things you have that money can't buy. Now, what is something that's very valuable that money can't buy? Peace. Tolerance. What else? That's right. You can't buy association with devotees. Association with devotees is very valuable. Sometimes we take it for granted, but actually it's priceless, association with the devotees. Srila Prabhupada, he said he established these temples so that people can come and associate with the devotees. And from association with the devotees, then they get to learn about Krishna. Anything else? Humility, yeah. You can't buy humility. So many things. Love, everybody wants love. Can't buy love. Sincerity, so many things that are very, very valuable, but you can't buy with money. There's one thoughtful, wealthy man. He said, I'm so poor that all I have is money. That's poverty. If you just have money, you're poor. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Prema Dana Vinavyate Daridu Jivan Dasikori Vitani Mor Deha Prema Dana. Of course, he's playing the role of a devotee. And he says, if one does not have love for Krishna, one is considered to be a Daridu Jivan, a poor soul. Therefore, my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service, and all I want as salary is love for you. This is real wealth, to have love for Krishna. This is the highest wealth, actually. And this Bharat Maharaj, he was almost there. Level of bhav. In America, they have a saying, don't fumble the ball on the last part of the fourth quarter. This is playing football. You know, the end of the game and you got the ball and you're just going to make a touchdown and you fumble the ball. You know fumble? Fumble means you drop the ball. You're just going to win the game and you drop the ball. So he was like that. He was just at the end. You know, just bob. You know, just almost there to prema. And he fumbled the ball. He dropped the ball. And he became attached to this deer. But if he would have had association, see, that was his big problem. he didn't have association. If he had association, one of the Prabhus would have said, Maharaj, pardon Maharaj, I mean, you're a wonderful devotee, but I think you're getting a little too attached to this deer. You know, could be a problem. You know, might be an obstacle on your devotional life. But he had no association. You know, this is the nice thing about having association. We get guidance, and sometimes we get some correction. Yeah. So this is good. So, Vaisheshika Prabhu in Mayapur a couple of years ago, he said we should live to be corrected. Because that helps us. Yeah. We need to be corrected because we're conditioned souls. We need help. There's one devotee that was, he was on Harinam, and one non-devotee came and said, what does this Hare Krishna mantra mean? He said, it means, God, please help me. It's a pretty good definition. We all need help. So, and that's what we're praying for. Please, Krishna, help me to get purified. Help me to advance in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So we need a lot of help. Kali Yuga, we really need a lot of help. So this is should be our mood. Please, Krishna, help me. And Prabhupada said one time, he said, please help me so that I could be accepted again by you. So we want to be accepted again in the circle of Krishna's pure devotees in the spiritual world. This is the goal. So as we're seeing here in this pastime of Bharat Maharaj, spiritual life is not always easy. It can be very difficult. But if we have good association and we practice sincerely, then Krishna, he'll help us. Samasataye parapalava palavam mahaparam puya somarare bhavambhir vatsa paramparam param paramparam yadvi param natesha. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is also the shelter of the entire cosmic manifestation, for such a person, this great, vast ocean of material existence becomes no bigger than the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Very easy to step over a little puddle of water, right? So easy. And what is their goal? The goal is the spiritual world. Not this place where there's danger at every step. Yeah. Very dangerous place, this material world. It's like in America, every year, about 200 people die from trying to make toast. You know, toast? They forget that it's electricity, and they take, you know, the bread sometimes gets stuck in the toaster. They take a fork, and they try to get the bread out. And they die, about 200 people a year, from making toast. Yeah, it's dangerous. You got to be careful making toast. And about 600 people die from rolling off their bed. Yeah. Rolling off their bed. About 600 people every year die. Yeah. Rolling off their bed. But Devamrita Swami, he rolled off his bed a few years ago, broke his arm. Fortunately, he didn't leave his body. Material world, it's a dangerous place, you know. Not only danger at every step, danger at every roll. You got to be careful. You got to be careful, you know, where you roll. And therefore, these bump beds, you know, they have rails. That's why there's rails, you know. The bump beds, you have bump beds up, they call them bump beds. Bump beds. One bed on top of the other, those are called bump beds in America. So there's you have the side there on the bed? Yeah. That's why, because they don't have the rail and they roll, they hit their head on the bed or something and finish. Dangerous, material world. So What is most dangerous is the illusory energy. Bewilders the living entity. So they can't think of Krishna. Makes it very difficult to think of Krishna, this illusory entity. Therefore, Krishna says, Daivihesa gunamayi, mama maya charati, mama vivye papajante, maya mitam charati. This divine energy of maya, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me can very easily cross beyond it. Radhana Swami was speaking about this, and he said, actually, this is a little bit of an understatement, because it's actually very, 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 very difficult to overcome. This illusory energy is very difficult. Yeah. Even big, you know, big swamis and yogis and gurus have difficulty. So we have to really pray to Krishna for help. You know, because many tests will come, just like this was a test. This little deer coming into the presence of Maharaj Mara, it was a test. And he failed it. So many tests will come to us as well. Many tests will come. You know, just like in the universities, you know, the professors giving tests. And the students, they're preparing themselves for the tests, as they could pass the tests. So we have to be prepared for the tests. So many tests will come. So what does it mean to be prepared? It means that we have to be very strict in our sadhana bhakti. Yeah. Reading every day. This nurtures our intelligence. This hearing, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, this makes our intelligence sharp. That keeps our mind down. If our intelligence is not sharp, then the mind can overcome. Yeah. So this keeps the mind down. The rascal mind keeps it down. And then eventually the mind gets purified. And then the mind becomes our friend. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one must deliver oneself with the help of the mind and not degrade oneself. For one who has conquered the mind is the best friend. So the mind is our friend when it's thinking of devotional activities, when it's thinking of doing things which are pleasing to Krishna, that's when our mind is our friend. And if our mind is thinking of nonsense, sinful activities, it's our enemy. So there's thinking, there's feeling, and there's willing. So when the mind thinks of nonsense, we have to stop it with our intelligence. If it's not stopped, then it's thinking, then it goes into feeling, and then it goes into the willing. So we have to stop it with our intelligence. And then Krishna goes on to say, for one who has conquered the mind is his best of friends. And for one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. For him, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, they're all the same. So that's what happens. You conquer the mind, you reach the super soul. That's a pretty good accomplishment there. Right? So we have to keep the mind down and keep Krishna in the forefront of our mind. And this way we'll achieve the goal that we're trying to arrive at, Krishna consciousness. I was just reading, Prabhupada said in a purport, he He said that in the spiritual world, this is our goal, the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everything moves. Everything sees. Everything speaks. Everything hears. And everything is self-effulgent. Everything glows. It's like, I don't know if they have it here, but when we were kids, we had these effulgent balls. You could see in the dark. And you could play with the balls. Yeah, do you see it? Yeah, so like probably everywhere. So there's no darkness in the spiritual world because everything is effulgent. Amazing, huh? Spiritual world is an amazing place. And what's most attractive about the spiritual world is Krishna is there. That's what's most attractive. If Krishna wasn't there, it wouldn't be so attractive. It'd be nice. But Krishna is like the cherry on top of the cake. You know? That's what's most attractive. Krishna. Why? Because Krishna, he's wonderful. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains how to think of him. Kaving pranam manusasataram anor anayangsa nusmriya sarvashyadataram achintirupam adityavarnam tamasaparastat. First, Krishna, he knows everything. Very intelligent. Extremely intelligent. Just think, there's one person in California, he's apparently the most intelligent person on the planet, with an IQ of an outstanding 220 IQ. So imagine Krishna's IQ. Very intelligent. He's never made a mistake. Extremely intelligent. He's so intelligent that he speaks the Bhagavad Gita in an hour and a half just off the top of his head. And thousands of years later, it's being studied in universities around the world, translated to all the languages of the world. In another 100,000 years, people will still be studying the Bhagavad Gita, trying to understand the deep meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. Generally, someone writes a book, even if it's a bestseller, within 10 years, it's practically forgotten. Some books make it, maybe a few decades. But Krishna, when Krishna speaks, and some, someone writes a book, it takes time, sometimes years, to write a book. Krishna just speaks the Bhagavad Gita off the top of his head. It's a bestseller for thousands of years. So he's very intelligent. Kaving pranam, he's very old. But he's not like depicted in the Christian religion, that he's old. He looks old. Like Michelangelo, he has that picture of God in there. He looks like he's about 80 years old, gray hair. And looks like he's, needs to see a doctor or something. No, Krishna is very old and very attractive. Therefore, his name is Krishna. Krishna means he who is very, very attractive. And what are the attractive features? Beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, and knowledge. Just like if someone is very beautiful in this world, like Miss Universe, but she's not going to be very strong, probably, right? There's no muscles bulging. She's not very strong. And the strongest person in the world, probably not very attractive. Yeah. All these muscles. And the most intelligent person is also not very strong. So Krishna has all of them together. He's very attractive. And yoga means that which attracts. So Krishna is so attractive that if anybody is sincere, then they'll be attracted to Krishna. Yeah. Like sometimes when I'm distributing books, I tell people, have you heard of Krishna? And they say, yeah, I've heard of Krishna. And then I show him with the flute, and I say, you know, he's the best at playing the flute. Oh, okay. So God is also the best musician. He's the best at everything. Just like yesterday, I was speaking to one lawyer, and he said, so what do you think of the evolution theory? I said, nah, it's a theory, it's not true. He said, you know, I believe the same thing. Yeah. I said, look at this body. You know, if you're going to build a computer, or you're going to build a car or something, everything has to be put on individually, through the assembly line. He said, yeah, that's right. But look at this body. In the womb, all the parts of the body are growing simultaneously. The brain, the bones, the eyes, the ears, everything is growing simultaneously. And then it comes out. And it's, you know, it's working perfectly. Not always, but most of the time. You see, I said, this is God. He's the best engineer. God is a very good engineer. Amazing engineer. We take it all for granted, but Krishna's amazing. You just put some little liquid into the womb of a woman, and all this amazing engineering comes out. Yeah, it's fascinating. The brain. Geez. So the scientists are very proud of all their knowledge, but ask any of them, what is consciousness? They haven't a clue. No idea. They're completely bamboozled. What is consciousness? Because they don't believe in the soul. They don't believe in the soul, so they have no idea. With all their advancement, no idea what is consciousness. But we know very easily, Krishna says, it's the soul. So Krishna is the best at everything. Just like the way Krishna got his peacock feather. Is when Krishna, one day, he woke up early and he started playing his flute, calling his cowherd boyfriends. And the peacocks happened to be nearby. And they heard Krishna playing the flute and they started dancing. Anybody here ever see peacocks dance? They're very good dancers, actually. So the peacocks, a huge number of them, started dancing upon hearing Krishna playing the flute. So the cowherd boys came and they're all watching the peacocks dancing. And then Krishna started dancing. And Krishna is known as the best dancer. Vrindavana Natabara. Right? Yasamati Nandana. He's the best dancer in Vrindavan. So he started dancing. And he's such a good dancer. Everybody else just stood to the side to watch Krishna dance. Now Krishna's still playing the flute. And the flute is also a personality. So the flute just kind of slipped out of Krishna's hands. And he's up there floating around still playing. He doesn't need Krishna to play. So he's still playing. And Krishna, now he's got his two hands free. Now he really gets into the dancing. Yeah. And everybody's like, amazing. What a wonderful transcendental show. So the flute is still playing up there floating. And Krishna's just dancing and dancing and dancing. And then Krishna finally, he stopped dancing. And the leader of the peacocks came and said, Krishna, you are the best dancer. So therefore I give you this peacock feather that you should always wear, which it's a statement that you are the best. You're better than the peacocks at dancing. You know? So Krishna's the best at everything. Kaving, pranam, anusasara. And he's the controller. He controls everything. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. And therefore, whatever happens, a devotee always thinks, oh, it's Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna's in control. Yeah. The devotee never complains. One purport, Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that whenever there's a reversal for a devotee, he doesn't complain, he doesn't protest. God, why have you done this? It's like Prabhupada was speaking about this, and he was saying how during this war between England and Germany, at one point, Churchill, the Prime Minister, he made a statement that everyone in England should pray to God for victory. Now in Germany, they're also praying to God for victory. So God's kind of like, what do I do here? I guess whoever prays the most, you know. And therefore, because he made that, that's probably why they won. England won the war because he made a statement to the whole country. Everybody pray to God for victory. Now, individually, people were praying in Germany. And therefore, one godbrother of Prabhupada, he said in Germany they became atheists because they were praying to God. The wives were praying to God. Please bring us back our husbands. Bring us back our sons. Bring us back our fathers. And they didn't come back. So many of them became atheists. But if Hitler would have been more pious and would have told everybody, listen everybody, let's pray to God for victory. But he didn't have that piety. But Churchill did. So, yes, we have to pray to God for protection. Because so many tests will come. We have to be prepared. Just like the students, they're prepared. The test comes, they're ready for the test. If they're not ready for the test, then what happens? They fail. Yeah. They have to go, they got to take the test again. So we don't want to go through this again. The final exam is death. So we don't want to have to go through this again, go through this test again. So many tests again and again. And then the final exam again and fail it again. You know, who knows how many times we've been presented with this test and we failed. You know, so let's not fail again. And let's get it together this time and go back to Krishna. It's possible. Prabhupada promised. Said, you just chant these 16 rounds a day, you follow the four regular principles, and I promise you, when Prabhupada makes a promise, then Krishna's got to follow it. Right? So that's all we have to do. Just don't be distracted, and we can do it. Kaving pranam anusasataram anor aniyangsam. Anor aniyangsam means very small. Very small. He's so small, he could take a nice long walk in the atom. He's so small. And he's also bigger than the biggest. He's very big. There's one nice pastime. Krishna was in Vrindavan. And Mother Yasoda, she wanted to give some reward to Radharani because she's cooking for Krishna. And you know, because Radharani, she was benedicted by Dravasa Muni, that whatever you cook, it will help someone live a long life. Whoever eats your food will help someone live a long life. So Krishna was eating every day Radharani's food, and it was very nice. She's the best cook. It's described that Radharani, she's cooking eternally for Krishna, and she never cooks the same thing twice. Inconceivable, huh? So Radharani, or excuse me, so Mother Yasoda, she wants to give some reward to her, so she wants to give these presents to Radharani. She's got a big box, And she's got a bunch of presents in there to give to Radharani. So Krishna, he hears about this. And he tells his coward friends, hey, Mother Yasoda is going to give this box of presents to Radharani. But how about if we take the presents out while she's not looking, and I get in the box, and then I get to go to Radharani. And they said, yeah, good plan, let's do it. So then they took all the presents out, Krishna got in the box, and then Mother Yasoda sees Abhimanyu, who was the husband of Radharani, walking by. And she says, oh, Abhimanyu, please come. I have these presents for Radharani. Please, can you bring these presents to Radharani? Yeah, sure, no problem, Mother Yasoda, no problem. So he picks up this box. It's a little heavy, but he can carry it. So he's carrying this box. And he takes it to Radharani. Says, Radharani, Mother Yasoda has given these presents for you due to your service. So here's some presents for you. So he gives it to Radharani. And Radharani tells the gopi friends, you know, I'm getting the same feeling as I get when I'm around Krishna, when I'm around this box. Very unusual. So as soon as she said that, Krishna popped out. He came out of the box. And all the gopis were very happy to see Krishna. And Krishna was very happy to see the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani. So it's described, Prabhupada says that Krishna's pastime is like an ocean. It's an unlimited ocean of waves of pastimes. You know, it's just wonderful, amazing pastimes of Krishna. So devotees take great pleasure in hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Satang basang hang mamavirya sangvado bhavantirit karna visayanatata yajosanat asava vargar vartmani shradharvatir bhakti anukramishyati. That devotees in the association of other devotees derive great happiness in hearing about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. It's very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. And simply by this hearing, one quickly becomes liberated. One gains a taste for Krishna consciousness, Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir. One eventually gains love for Krishna by this hearing about Krishna. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he established this Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning. And Bhagavad Gita class in the evening. And in between we have service. So this is called the Transcendental ISKCON Sandwich. Yeah. All about service. So, Kaving Pranam Anusasataram Anor Anayangsa Anusmaya Sarvasya Dataram Achintya Rupam. So Krishna, he's maintaining everyone. Just like there's a saying that you might have heard this before when I was here. Krishna gives, he gives, and he gives, and he forgives. And we get, and we get, and we get, and we forget. So we shouldn't forget who is giving everything to us. He's giving so much. So we should feel obliged and want to serve him. Sarvasyadataram achintya rupam, and his form is unlimited. He has unlimited forms as well. Adityavarnam tamasaparasa, and his form, it's just like in the spiritual world, everything is effulgent. Krishna's form also, it's unlimitedly effulgent. The Brahma Jyoti comes from Krishna. Yeah, so he's very effulgent. Therefore, sometimes devotees, they pray, Krishna, please remove this effulgence, so I can see your form. And Krishna can never be overcome by darkness. Krishna is never in Maya. Just like we're praying for so much protection, but Krishna, he doesn't have to. Maya is under his control. But if we take shelter of Krishna, we can become free of Maya. So Bharat Maharaj, his problem was he became attached to this deer. And the goal is to become attached to Krishna. I'll tell you one nice verse in this regard, which has become my favorite verse now. It's a very beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse might change your life. Listen closely. Sopi ravre chalam bhaktim tasmani vakilatmati tad bhakti susavardam bhute sucha dayam param. When Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, he saw many different personalities there in Mathura. And one of them was this Sudama, the garland maker. So this Sudama was such a great devotee, so sincere, that Krishna was overwhelmed. So he told Sudama, "Sudama, I'll give you any benediction you want. Just ask. I'll give you anything you want." So Krishna, or Sudama, he chanted this verse, which means, "Please, Krishna, give me just three things. First thing is devotion," which is interesting, because he already had so much devotion that Krishna was overwhelmed. Just said, "I'll give you anything you want. Just ask. I'll give you whatever you want." So this means you could have unlimited devotion, because he already had so much. He asked for more. "Please, give me devotion for you, Krishna." So this is something we should also fervently pray for, is devotion for Krishna. If we have devotion for Krishna, if we have pure devotional service, we're set. We made it. That's the goal. Next thing he prayed for, friendship with his devotees. If we have devotion for Krishna, but we don't have friendship with the devotees, it's not going to work. Because if we go to the spiritual world and we have devotion for Krishna, but we don't have a nice friendly relationship with the devotees, then it would be a social disturbance. Because in the spiritual world, everybody has wonderful, loving friendship, you know, with each other. Wonderful relationships. There's no friction. Prabhupada once said the profession of the neophytes is to bicker. You understand the word bicker? Bicker? Anybody know this word? Bicker? Bicker means to fight over little things. Little insignificant things. "You stole my gumsha." "It wasn't you. It's not your gumsha. It's my gumsha." "No, it's my gumsha." You know, like little things like this. And you get into, you know, little things, bickering over little things. You know. He said the profession of the neophyte is to fight over just little things. So we should pray to Krishna to have nice, friendly relationships. Because in Kali Yuga, it's not that easy. Because icha dvaisa samudvena, all the Vinayanas are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities arising from desire and hate. So there's envy in the heart. So if there's that originally coming, you know, envy of Krishna. So we had to pray to get free of this so that we could have nice relationships. If this envy is there, then it's hard to have nice relationships. So this is something we had to pray to get free of, as you know, these bad qualities. And the last thing he prayed for was compassion for all living entities. It's a beautiful verse, huh? And with envy also, how can we have compassion? It's diametrically opposed. It's complete opposite. So we should pray for these things. When I read this verse, I thought, wow, that just covers everything. Because you want to have love for Krishna, devotion for Krishna. We want to have friendship with the devotees. And we want to have compassion for all living entities. And Prabhupada said, devotees, they see four things. They see Krishna, they see the devotees, They see the innocent and they see the envious. And so he spoke about it. He said, we want to have love for Krishna. We want to have this love for Krishna. We want to have friendship with the devotees. And we want to help the innocent. And he said, the envious, those who are atheists and you know, trying to prove there is no God. It's like someone was just telling me what there was one. There's one shirt, one devotee was this Madhavendra Puri on a class. He said, he saw one shirt, it said, religion, a disease we're trying to become free of. Yeah. So there's atheists like that are just really against God. Yeah. Like there's atheistic societies, yeah, just trying to prove there's no God. Universities. So Prabhupada said, these envious people, we kick them on the head. And Prabhupada said, our scientist devotees, he said, the more you kick the materialistic scientist in the head, the more advancement you make. And he said, with the, you know, Darwin's theory, you know, Darwin has this evolution theory. And Prabhupada said, there's a missing link. Right? The missing link is my boot on your head. He said, that's the missing link. So much misleading. Yeah. The rascals. Just misleading the people, the innocent people. They're just such rascals. So we have to give them this knowledge. This is compassion. We have to give them this knowledge of the absolute truth. They should have some compassion and go out. This man, this lawyer I was speaking to yesterday, then he asked me, so what do you guys think of the creation? How did it happen? I said, well, God, he's known as Satyasankalpa. Whatever he wants, it just happens. So it's by the desire of God. And he said, you know, I've never believed in God, and I'll never believe in God, but anyway, I'll give you a donation. And I said, you're open-minded, right? He said, yeah. All right, you read this book. Sri Isopanishad. Give a nice donation, actually. Took the Isopanishad. You know, a lot of people don't believe in God because there's nothing has been presented that's logical. Yeah. Just like the Christians, they say, how long is this planet? The Christians, they say this planet is, what, 6,000 years old? I think it's... Something, I think 6,000. Anybody know? Yeah, 6,000 years. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And then if you just have a thought crime, if you don't believe in Jesus, then you go to hell. It's a thought crime. And you go to hell. Well, who's going to believe that? And if you don't believe, yeah, it's useless. So then what is it? There's Christianity and there's Muslims. You know? And the Muslims, you know, they think if you kill some non-believers and you go to heaven and you associate with hundreds of virgins in heaven by killing the non-believers. So we have something that's logical, Bhagavad Gita. So we should want to give it out and help the conditioned souls. Okay, thank you very much. Past time. Huh? So do we have one question or no? Yeah? One question maybe, if anybody has. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.